Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
0%. I'm not thinking of that. I'm not letting that bother me. If that happens, it will happen. I won't be mad. Always be thankful with the Chicago Cubs and the city of Chicago if something like that happens. If it doesn't happen, I'll be more than happy to stay here with my team.
That is Wilson Contreras, as heard on the Waddle and Sylvie show this past week on ESPN 1000. You know, I like Wilson a lot. My favorite player on the Cubs, being a White Sox fan, I would love to have him on the South Side. It would be sad to see that piece go, but I wouldn't be surprised, Brian.
No, I would think, you know, again, Jed doesn't even entertain the question when he's asked. And Wilson Contreras saying all the right things. Mm-hmm. Now, when, you know, the words are nice, and I love Wilson Contreras, and I think we've learned a lot more about him this year when he's come out of the shadows of Rizzo and Bryant and Baez.
And those were big shadows.
No doubt, right? And he's having an all-star season, obviously, and he's become a more vocal leader, and it's all terrific. There's a lot to love about Wilson Contreras, and he says the right things. Now, is he willing, and I wouldn't advocate this because it's time to get paid, right? Unlike Rizzo and Bryant and Baez, and Baez will tell you how close he thought they were to an extension, which didn't get done, is he willing to take the old cliche hometown discount and tell his representatives, whatever it takes, I want to stay here. So as long as it's not the old Andre Dawson blank check and Dallas Green fills in $500,000, with something insulting and Hawk still took it, because he wanted to be here that badly. That's the only way I see this thing where Wilson Contreras is still sticking around after August 2nd. If he signals in not only words, but actual in negotiations that he's willing to play ball with the Cubs and take less than market deal because he wants to be here.
I don't think he does. I don't think he'll do that.
I don't either.
I get why fans would love for him to do that. It's always great to have a player want to be on a team so bad that they would take that discount. But I think Wilson got a taste, you know, and he wants that again. And that's not going to happen on the north side anytime soon.
No, I think it would be an upset that they come to a deal before August 2nd. And I think he's as good as gone. So unless Jed Hoyer doesn't get, I mean, if you're not re-signing him, you're going to have to take your best offer, whatever that looks like. Right.
Mm-hmm. And who around the league needs a catcher right now? I would make a play on the south side. I'm obviously not happy. Zavala, I think, is a great backup catcher. I don't have a problem with McGuire. I do have a problem with Yasmani being the highest paid player on the White Sox and underachieving since he's been here, comparatively speaking, to the rest of his career. And it would be like Rick Hahn to make a deal that was not really expected, but would we have the pieces to make that deal? And would that be something that Hahn's interested in? We've got bigger problems, I guess, is what I'm saying on the south side.
Well, you know, first of all, the Cubs don't have any interest in Grandal. So the White Sox are going to carry three catchers. I mean, that's what we're speculating, right? When Grandal comes off.
And then there's that, right. Because you can't put Zavala back down because he'll get snapped up, right?
My guess is he would be, if the Cubs and Sox made a trade, my guess is
he would have to be included.
He would have to be included, yeah. and then some. To me, you would need a pitching prospect or two.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Yeah. Certainly. But, yes, we are stuck with Grandal. And I'm not sure we have plenty of first base DH options, so it's not like he would just be a DH guy. I just like Wilson, and selfishly, I would like to have him on the south side.
No, I mean, it'd be a huge upgrade. Right. And you know, as much as I like, I've been watching Zavala, and I really like his compete and everything that goes along with it. But he's not Wilson Contreras, and Grandal is not Wilson Contreras, and.
Nope.
I don't know the Cubs have any interest in Reese McGuire. I mean, he's a guy, and he's okay. He's not. Yeah, I mean, he's. I'm not saying he's terrible, but he's certainly not. But if you're getting Wilson Contreras, then I think Zavala is the guy who comes back and trade.
Who else in the league needs a catcher? Is there somebody? The Royals they lost their catcher Perez, but
DH.
I mean, the Royals are and they're not making a trade for Wilson Contreras.
No, but I mean, look, I mean, he can catch and he can DH.
Yes.
I mean,
has he played first? Has he ever played first base?
I can
tell
you.
Is he a first base option?
Well, I mean, I don't. I mean, I think he might have played there one game or so.
Okay, okay.
It's not anything that's on a regular.
Right.
You know?
Okay. So it'll be interesting what the Cubs can be able to get from him for him, because you're right. It's all about the best offer, and certainly the Cubs, their phone is available, and Hoyer is ready to take phone calls to see what can happen with Wilson. It would just be a nice story if he did stay, but I don't think he would take any kind of hometown discount. He can't do better than that.
He hasn't done it to this point, so why in the next 2 weeks would he? I mean, because it's now getting closer and it's getting real, and he truly does want to be here. And what is that discount? I mean, at some point his agent says, no, we're not giving 25%. What's that discount look like? And are the Cubs even interested? I mean, it's still a lot of money, right? And if they're not going to win anything for the next 3 years optimistically, then, you know, what's the, even with the discount, do they have any interest?
Common sense would say that neither are going to be into making this a permanent situation.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So Wilson can tell you how he feels, and I sincerely believe he feels that way, but I think this ship has really sailed already. It's just a matter of to which team and what you get in return.
See, for me, and again, approaching it from being a White Sox fan, but having appreciation for what's happening on the north side, Rizzo was tough to lose. Baez or Bryant didn't bother me much. I think Rizzo was more of an emotional loss, and I think Contreras would be along those lines too, a little bit.
I mean, I don't think he rises to the level of those three. And Rizzo was the face of the team, and he was the first guy here for the rebuild and, you know, saw it through, and everyone really thought that, and he thought he was going to be a Cub for the rest of his career. And, you know, he turned down the reported 5 years, $75 million.
He did.
It left a lot of money on the table. And Chris Bryant, unfortunately, health became an issue multiple times, and the numbers started going the wrong way. And he wasn't, you know, Scott Boras wanted him to get paid as if he was still the Rookie of the Year and MVP of the World Series, right? And, you know, that was a while back. So, and Javi is, when he's on, he's electric. And
when he's off, he's really off.
Right. I mean, he gets people out of their seats, and then he's swinging at pitches 3 feet outside the zone.
Clear out of his shoes.
Yep.
312-332-3776. I want to play this too. Your guy, Ian Happ, who you're trying to get a trade done to the south side. You know what? We can maybe use him. Pollock is, A.J. Pollock's bat has gone silent in recent games, and he's being rested again today. This happened last night with Ian Happ.
Look at this at bat he's throwing on right here. I mean, foul balls, anything in. He's really eliminated a lot of swing and miss up top. Exactly where they're going. I hope it's not on cue. Ooh, that could have been down. Come on.
Happ didn't like the call from John Tumpane right there. And Ian Happ's been ejected, and David Ross has ejected the headset.
That was David Ross talking to them live on the broadcast. And you heard him go, no. And then he ripped off the headset. By the time he got out there, Happ was ejected, and Ross stayed in the game. You know, obviously in that situation, you want to get out there and protect your player, maybe be the one to get thrown out. But, you know, he couldn't make it happen, and Happ got ejected. But it was frustrating doubleheader yesterday, loss to the Mets.
Two extra inning losses again, and the Cubs have had 14 of those. And so you get credit going against a good team like the Mets, but you're 3-11 in extra inning games. And Buck Showalter said it, those are the games good teams win. And right now the Cubs are young and they're not very good. And do you like in-game interviews? And there, I don't know that he was going to stop Happ from getting the heave-ho.
Yeah, but even if he had that, it didn't have the headset on, I'm not sure he would have been able to get out there quick.
Because it seemed like it was pretty immediate,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
You know, I'm sure somewhere Fred Hubman has done this. Is why I don't like in-game interviews.
Look, the manager, if you have him on for a little bit, what I don't like is when we're talking or we're listening to the outfielder. In the field, and he's like, oh, you know, he's got to go catch a ball or whatever. That's just a little too much.
The inning goes on forever, and he's going up to guys. Hey, I'm mic'd up. Like, you know, I need some help here. Give me some material. You know, it's some of those things just go on and on and on, right?
And I know why they're trying to do it, but I don't. There's a line, and that seems to cross it when you're talking to somebody as they're playing the field. It's a little weird.
After the break, let's talk about another part of broadcasting. The Futures game was played last night, and it was a rumor to a lot of people because it was on a streaming service. So your up-and-coming Major League Baseball stars basically were on the pay-no-mind list because most people were watching their actual Major League Baseball teams, and it wasn't available on an ESPN or one of the five ESPNs or whatever. It was on a streaming service, and people are scratching their head. Why can't MLB ever get this right between the blackouts and the boundaries of local rights holders and everything else? It gets awful tough to watch what you want to watch.
Absolutely. We'll do that when we come back. It's Hanley and Zander here on ESPN 1000. We'll be right back to talk about that and take your phone calls. 312-332-3776.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Watch us today and every day on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. This is your home for the Chicago White Sox. Pregame with Tyler Aki starts at 12:30. First pitch against the Twins. Game four. Got to win this one. Take three of four. It's 1-10. Dylan Cease on the mound. And for them, Chris Archer, who has a losing record. Dylan, of course, should have been an all-star, but that's okay. He's pitching today. I'd rather have him pitch for us than to worry about taking part in the All-Star game. Brian Hanley, Mark Zander here. And Brian, you had a great point about the MLB Futures game.
Well, we were talking about different revenue sources and streams for teams. And how damning is this? Dodgers manager Dave Roberts was asked if he was able to watch any of the Futures game yesterday. He said, well, in our clubhouse, we don't have the Peacock streaming service. And that's where
too expensive.
Yeah, Dodgers are worth, what, $5 billion?
Hey, and look, they've got it tied up in other things.
Yeah.
Got to cut somewhere, pal.
So, I think Kershaw might have thrown $20 or whatever for the month or whatever it costs. But, again, it's on a Saturday night when Major League Baseball teams are actually playing right before the All-Star break. So they've moved it to make it, to give some content to Peacock. And with the new CBA, too, Peacock and Apple, we've talked about this because we've had to sit through some of those games with the Cubs and or Sox, right? And it's not exactly the quality, at least in my world, to what we're used to.
It's not.
$115 million that the deal with the Apple and Peacock starts out at for the 30 teams to divvy up. So, no one really saw this. I was watching the White Sox. I was watching the Cubs' second game, the doubleheader last night. Lots of baseball, but Pete Crow Armstrong he went 1-for-2 with a double, and I love watching him whenever I can. And Oscar Colas was also 1-for-2,
yep.
And he had a single. And so, if you wanted to at least check in, you really would have had to jump through some hoops to do so. And I don't know that a lot of people weren't even aware. I mean, it was really a rumor that you might have read about it after the fact, but you
right.
didn't even know it.
Well, right? See, that's the thing, right? You see a highlight, so, well, I didn't know that was on. So a couple different questions. First of all, could there have been a scheduling adjustment that they could have made had they been somewhere where people would readily find them?
Game. It used to be on the Monday of the All-Star break, right?
See, this is what I'm saying. It would make a little sense before that, as it did before, to have it on that Monday, to be able to do that, and then get the word out, even if it's on a streaming thing, platform, get the word out.
My guess is Peacock has a Monday slate of things they already want to show, and they didn't want to accommodate that. And, by the way, they took the 9-inning game and slashed it to 7 innings. So the young stars didn't even get a chance you could have seen more of them or more – more opportunities.
Well, I think MLB dropped the ball to allow them to edit the game and to take the game without promoting it or, giving it its due and scheduling it in a spot that is not competing with their own product.
Right. Well, I think they acquiesced to Peacock.
Absolutely.
We'll pay you as part of our package.
And we're just gonna do whatever with it? Really? Yeah. Is that what we want to do?
Well, that's what
happened.
Know, that's what happened. And so, you know, again, if you're trying to get baseball, I think, has the on average, the oldest fan base. If you're trying to get, you know, guys like Jake Cantu's generation to be interested.
Sure, you could do it via streaming, but make it to where people actually know about it. Do right. the advertising and try to stay away from competing with the other MLB products. Now, I will say this, that I'm sure it's on YouTube, right? So you can probably watch it now, even though, I personally cannot watch.
It's probably on Peacock.
But okay, let's say you don't have Peacock. Well, you just want to steer around that.
No, but I mean, I don't think Peacock would allow it to be on YouTube. I think you would have to.
There's a lot of times stuff is on YouTube that it shouldn't be. You know, Jake, you should look that up.
Vimeo, maybe too. I don't know.
I'm
just saying that Peacock now has content, live or not. It's now in their vault, and you can go on demand and pay for the Peacock service, and on demand would be the futures game, right?
So even though it's already happened, and for me personally, I have a hard time watching a game that's already taking place. That's me.
I'm with you.
I will even say if I can speak for my generation.
You are.
You speak for everybody in your generation.
I wanted to see young buck Jack Leiter yesterday. He was pitching in the futures game. And then I saw it was on Peacock, and I was like, you know what? Let's just stick to YouTube today. You know, let's just find a little cooking show I can find and fall asleep to.
See,
I don't want to watch the Futures game on Peacock.
If you don't have Peacock, you would have had to sign up for it and pay for it, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's more of a hassle to do that than anything else. Like, yeah, I would have loved to just turn it on NBC or whatever, but, you know, it just didn't happen like that.
You know, it's funny how when they're trying to get a younger demo and they think streaming is it, listen, Jake, right there. Would have been easy if he just turned on the TV and watch it as easy as you can watch an MLB game. And why isn't it on the MLB network? Well, because they sold the rights to Peacock and let Peacock do whatever they wanted to do with it, which is, I think it's harming MLB.
But the money's in the bank.
Yeah, right? Well, that's what they care about.
$15 million. Yeah, that you know, to here's a bigger piece of the financial pie for all the teams. So you gave away some control of your futures game, or a lot of it, because $115 million between Apple and Peacock goes into the vault.
Now we know their price. 312-332-3776. Did you see the futures game? Did you know it was on? Was it something that was accessible, not a problem to you? You knew about it and you watched it. Or did you have a problem with it competing versus, you know, the Cubs or the White Sox or whatever else you are watching as far as baseball goes? If you want to jump in, we'll take your call, 312-332-3776. I agree. It should be a little more accessible, especially when you are trying to get the fan base. You're trying to grow the fan base, and just putting on a streaming service does not automatically, fulfill that objective.
I will say, too, if you wanted to stream it, you should have put it on Twitter. I mean, they've done different events especially the NFL. I mean, most of the highlights, we mentioned bringing up watching on YouTube or whatever. I mean, I only saw the highlights through Twitter, you know, the 30-second clip. So they should have just streamed it through there.
Absolutely. Well, that they would have promoted the crap out of it on Twitter, too.
Twitter's not paying MLB. I mean, that's the point. MLB wants to monetize this, right? And Twitter's not writing a check to MLB, so that's the point. It's like, right now, is it short?
Yeah, well, Twitter's busy trying to sue Elon Musk.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you? The guy said, "I'll buy the for $54 a share," and
then never mind.
It. Yeah, I mean, there are laws against that. But my whole point is that MLB is trying to monetize everything to the detriment of a younger generation watching its product and embracing, and also giving its youngest stars the biggest stage, right?
Yes. No, you're right. They definitely have a price, and, you know, I think it compromises the product when you just say, okay, somebody pick up the rights and we're not going to give you, you know, a set of rules to abide by. That's as if, let's plug in a comparison, maybe a ridiculous stretch, but we'll try this anyhow. If you have a McDonald's That would be like buying a McDonald's franchise and then doing whatever you want, changing the colors and everything like that.
And it's not allowed.
Yeah, yeah, it's not allowed. That's exactly right. So why wouldn't they have standards of which, yes, Peacock, we're giving the rights to you. Yes, you are going to pay for it, but you are going to advertise it to this degree. You are going to make it available to this degree, and you're going to schedule it so it does not compete with any other product that we offer.
Well, and probably in the negotiation, the Peacock people said, okay, instead of our share of the $115 million, we'll go up to $90 million. I mean, it's all a negotiation.
Sure, right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Cullen in Vegas wants to jump in on this. Hey, Cullen, you're on ESPN 1000 with Brian Hanley and Mark Zander. What's up, bud?
Gentlemen, good morning to
you. Good morning.
So I was going to say, I totally agree. It's very unfortunate that Major League Baseball doesn't have common sense. I mean, Rob Manfred is clueless as to, he's out of touch. I mean, they go about promoting the game in all the wrong ways. If they need to start going back to when they used to do advertisements in the local communities and stuff, in youth baseball, and getting both boys and girls, you know, the boys and girls clubs, and, you know, but God forbid they do that, or even promoting their, you know, Shohei Ohtani more, and, you know, doing all the right things, like, again, showcasing your young talent, the future of baseball, getting new fans to join in on the fun, on the game that is baseball.
So, but did you watch it at all? Did you know about it?
I didn't know about it until I was just listening to you guys folding laundry here. I didn't know about it at all.
That's a problem. That's a problem for Major League Baseball.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Cullen, thanks for the phone call. You know, he mentioned the problem right there, Manfred. Does anybody have anything good about him to say? I can't remember one thing that he's done where I'm like, that was good.
The reason he became the commissioner was, for all the years he was the lead negotiator for Major League Baseball, and he kept labor peace. And then the irony is that under his watch as a commissioner, they had the lockout. But for years and years, they didn't suspend the game because of greed. And he was the one who was given not only credit, he was given the elevation to being the commissioner. And then we saw what happened before the season
started. Well, sometimes you take one step too many.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Rob Manfred is definitely that case. All right, we're up against a break. You want to do high-low when we come back?
Absolutely.
Okay, I've got a different type of high-low on my end, and we'll talk about when we come back. It's ESPN 1000 on a Sunday morning, broadcasting from Old National Bank. We're here until 12:30, then we'll pick up the pregame with Tyler Aki. Starting then, in first pitch against the Twins, 1:10 from Minnesota, as we try to take Game 4 out of the 4-game set. If we do that, we win 3 of 4. We head to the All-Star break needing a rest. And, it's not a sweep, but, you know, it's the next best thing. We'll hope for that. We'll be right back here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Playing a game called High Low. All you have to do is you have to tell me the three most expensive ones. The three most expensive ones. Would you like to hear about them first? All right, Rich, tell us about it.
Right, it's not about expense on this version of High Low on ESPN 1000. Brian Hanley, Mark Zander. We each have three questions we'll ask each other as to whether it's high or low. Brian, you want to go? You want me to go?
Mark Zander, come on down.
All right. Here I am. I'm jumping around. I'm waving my arms like a freak. What you got for me? Let's play high-low.
I want to be in the showcase, Drew.
All right. So here's what I have, Brian.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It is music related.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. Pitchfork is going on right now. And this is the festival in the West Loop. And if you look at the lineup, that will make you feel old if you're our vintage, because
I did and I do.
I it's like, what?
I don't know.
What?
It's like Lollapalooza.
No. Well, don't throw me in that. I mean, I'm good with Lollapalooza. Pitchfork is a step in a direction where it's like, I have no idea. I'm sure the music is great. If I wandered there after the show, I'm sure I would enjoy myself, but I know none of the bands.
Where's the Union Park? Is it
Union Park?
Union Square?
Yeah, 1500 West Randolph. So that is happening this weekend. And On the way in, this is what precipitated this high-low for me. On the way in, I drove by the old Morton Salt Shed. We know about that on North Austin.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right. It was a salt shed, quite literally, collapsed a few years ago. Remember, it kind of crushed a few cars. And they rebuilt it. And
you
it's,
know why? When it rains, it pours.
Very good, Brian. You waited all day for that. Mm-hmm. So when they did rebuild it, they repainted it. The Morton girl is on there and everything, but it is the Morton, or it's the Salt Shed is what they're calling it. Salt Shed concert venue. And beginning in August, they're going to start doing some shows. So we're right on the cusp of that new
venue.
Neighbors
not too happy about it. Just like they're not happy where the casino's going. You know, the old not in my backyard or front yard.
Of course not. Of course not. But regardless, you can't stop the music. Thankfully. So here's my question, okay? Here's my set of high-low. First of all, Lollapalooza is coming. Lollapalooza this year, starring one Metallica, a lot of other bands on the bill. Metallica, this has got to be.
Weren't they just at Wrigley a week ago? I believe they were. Before Zach Brown? I think they were there on Friday night. But anyway,
I don't know if it was.
Can't get enough Metallica in Chicago.
No, you can't. And Lollapalooza, they played Lollapalooza, I don't know, 5-6 times, it seems like. They've been a part of it for a lot of years, on and off. And here's my question to you. And this is all about what I've done in my career of concert going. The number is 2. High, low. That I've seen the band Metallica in my life.
Oh, I would
two occasions,
it,
high or low. What do you say, Brian? Is it am I too low or am I too high?
Oh no, I would put a zero behind that. I think you've seen them in double digits. High. So I mean, you're too low. I'd say you've seen them many more times.
Nope. I've only seen them once.
Really?
I've had so many near misses.
How do you
concert tickets?
Miss a concert?
Well, tickets that I thought I was getting fall through. Oh. The opportunity just, for one reason or another, just
you
didn't work out.
You were busy that night or something. Yeah.
Well, no, not even that. I mean, I'll make room for Metallica. It just didn't happen. But I've only seen him once, and when I look back, it's ridiculous.
So
because I had many more chances to do that.
Are you going
to
go see him at the Lolla on the weekend?
You know what? I'm just not into the whole music fest thing.
About Doja Cat? You gonna go see Doja Cat?
Yeah, no. I'll have Doja come play my backyard.
It takes a lot to get you part of 100,000 or more, right? Yeah, and all that goes along with that.
Right. I hate to say it, but I've just gotten a little lazy as far as going to big, overcrowded music festivals.
Correct. I'm with you.
You know, it just happens. Just happens after a while. All right, so Carlos Santana, a few weeks ago, I don't know if you heard about this, but he passed out on stage at Pine Knob.
In Michigan, yeah.
Outside of Detroit, Pine Knob Music Fest, Music Shed or whatever you would call it, like an Alpine Valley type venue.
I think it's a Pepper Shed.
Is it the Pepper Shed?
That's not true. Okay. Salt Shed.
Gotcha. I follow you. All right, so Pine Knob, very famous place. He was playing right in the middle of a song. He just dropped. Must have been scary as hell to see, but he's okay. And not long before that, he and Earth, Wind, and Fire were here down in Tinley Park. I have seen Carlos Santana and his band a few times in my life. The number would be 5. Is that high or is that low, Brian Hanley?
I'm going to say it's low. I think you've seen him many more times. I've only seen him once. I saw him at the Hard Rock in Vegas.
I have seen Carlos Santana in various versions of his band at least 7 times.
There you go.
Yes. Yeah. Very entertaining.
Did you ever faint in any of those 7 times?
I have not fainted. No. You know, I probably should have, at various concerts with the extreme heat and the extreme beer intake. I probably should have.
That's what he said. It was not eating enough food, and I would guess not drinking enough
dehydration.
Beer. Yeah.
I was lightheaded at many a concert.
There you go, Luis Robert. Yeah.
Okay. He locked his knees, too, and he just passed out.
That'll happen. That's got to be scary to see that live.
Yeah, because he's not a young man anymore. You know,
hey, and you know what? And thankfully, it was not this case. But there have been more than a few people who have died mid-performance on stage.
Oh, boy. That took a turn.
The keyboardist, you remember the band War?
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
That's Edwin Starr. No, I know. The band War, like, you know, they did Why Can't We Be Friends?
Yeah.
There's the song Gypsy Man. Great song. In the middle of it, their keyboard is Pompa D, dropped dead of a heart attack during the song. They have not played that song live ever since.
Wow. Died with his boots on.
Yes. I mean, look, if you're a performer and you're going to go,
yeah,
I mean, you get a badge of honor for that.
Absolutely.
All right. So my last high low.
Did the band finish the song, or did they wait? You know, they attend to the keyboard.
I'm thinking they might have stopped the song. I'm not sure.
The crowd finished the song.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
not sure. Yeah. It's not like hockey where a broken stick and they stop play.
The guy's spitting out 18. Yes, guy's spitting out 18.
No. They wait for a whistle.
Yeah.
Got to wait for a whistle.
Don't get up.
So my last one, music involved. It has been a year of people coming back to do concerts. COVID screwed up everything in the year of 2022. A lot of bands back on the road and all of that. We're getting back to life being a little more normal, kind of, sort of. In the past calendar year, Brian, I have seen 4 notable concerts. Is that number high or is that number low?
I think it's too high because you're not going to the big venues. So you're going to more intimate, like I love, you know, the Park West and Chicago
mm-hmm,
Theater.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I want to see a lot, but I've only been to one. I saw Joe Jackson about a month ago. So I'm going to say that's too high just because of venue circumstance and life, and you got other things going on, but you probably wanted to go to more.
Just one. I look back on it, it's like, I've only been to one concert. This has got to be the first year in 30-plus years that I've only seen one. And that was Wolfie Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen's son. He's got a band, Mammoth WVH. It was last July. It was this pop-up concert in a very cool venue, Rock House in West Dundee. And Valerie Bertinelli, his famous mom, was there. And I saw that, and I'm glad that I saw that. But I look back at the calendar, and I'm like, that's all I saw.
You know, this is odd because I saw her on Twitter yesterday. I don't follow her, but it popped up. And
I saw the tweet, too. I know what you're going to say.
She said, I'm paraphrasing, it's almost scary how much I like being alone. It's something to that effect. Right?
Yes, yes. And perhaps I know a little too much, but she just got divorced from the person she was married to after she divorced Eddie Van Halen.
She was married to Schneider, wasn't she?
No. Oh. That's the reboot of One Day at a Time that never actually happened.
And Jake, by the way, she did a cooking show. I don't know if she's still doing it.
Yeah, so Valerie Bertinelli, Wolfie's
mom.
There
you go.
Yeah.
I'll fall asleep to it.
She burns onion rings. All right, so we've got that high-low, and we're actually up against break. That went a little longer.
Okay,
we can do your version.
How many concerts do you have scheduled in the next few months? Do you have anything? You holding tickets for anything?
You know, I don't, and I know you do. And I slept on something I should not have slept on. I know more than a few people here. I know Abdallah and JR went to see Rage, and I should have. I fell asleep on that. I could have seen them at Alpine. That's a closer option for me than United Center these days, and I just slept through it. I don't know what I was thinking.
Well, I mean, I've never seen the Doobie Brothers, but they're on their 50th anniversary tour. I'm going to go see them, Chicago Theater, and Crowded House, also at Chicago Theater. Well, I've seen multiple times before. So,
and are the Finn Brothers still there?
Just one of them. Tim is the only one, which is the more important one, right? I think so.
Neil?
No, it's Neil. It's Neil.
Neil's the more. Yeah, Tim
yeah,
is
Neil,
the.
Yeah, 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 Neil's. And I think Neil's son or sons are in the band now, too. So whatever rift is there. But Neil's the more important one. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, you got me on that. I've got to look at the calendar and see what I should catch. But I've had some opportunities, but there are some bands that, you know, if I've seen them already and they have, you know, a few less original members, I won't go see them because I feel like I've already seen the best of them. Why would I do that?
Well, that's thankfully for the Doobie Brothers, Michael McDonald is touring with them. So I've never seen them. When I was a teenager, I wore their albums out. So I'm looking forward to that.
What a fool believes.
Yeah, you know, Jesus is all right with me, Mark. I don't know about you.
Yeah, he's all right. Okay. Yeah, you know, he's all right. He's all right.
All right, we'll do my high low. They're all sports questions.
Okay, let's get that done. Yeah, on the other side of this break, it's ESPN 1000 with Hanley and Zander. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Back to it. High low. ESPN 1000. Brian Hanley, Mark Zander. Before we get into your round, Brian, I should say that Tyler Aki texted Jake and said it was Motley Crue, not Metallica. And now every Metallica fan is pissed at you for confusing Metallica with Motley Crue.
Well, I confuse easily these days.
So. Well, no, we know that, and, yeah. And that'll be your saving grace. But still, to compare Motley Crue to Metallica, Metallica fans are none too happy.
Well, and I'm sorry, but if either one was playing in my basement, I'd shut the door and go upstairs. But that's just me.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's just, you know, we're different.
Hashtag Krabby Fred.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I mean, I, you know, we have different tastes.
No, I know, I know, yeah. I know. Motley Crue is they're on their big stadium tour with Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett the Blackhearts, which was at Wrigley. This was the tour, interesting enough, that Motley Crue did this big, we're retiring, bye-bye, big New Year's Eve show. This was a few years ago. And they said, we would never come back over our dead bodies, blah, blah, blah. Sold all the merchandise saying this is the final tour. And then, a year before COVID popped, they said, nah, we're kidding. We're coming back. And really ticked off some people because, you know, people were buying merch and doing all this stuff, and then COVID.
The Eagles have done that about 12 times. I mean, you know, Cher holds the record.
It's not a unique phenomenon. Kiss is still on their final tour, and they've done it many, many times too. The Scorpions have as well. So
because that's where bands are making their money now. It's not recording. It's selling tickets.
Motley Crue, just real quick, brought it to a new level because they made such a point saying we would never, ever, ever do it. They signed this paper. They did all this special merchandise, and then they came back, and then it was delayed a couple of years by COVID.
Because Live Nation sort of showed them a check with a lot of zeros on it. I mean,
we know why it happened.
Yeah.
We know.
And by the way, follow Tyler Aki on Twitter. And how many games does he spend at Wrigley Field? Because he's doing his rogue jersey thing, which I really enjoy. But it seems like he's at every homestand. He's walking around the concourse at Wrigley looking for rogue jerseys. I have to ask Tyler. I'll text him. Does he have season tickets? What's going on there?
He does have season tickets, yes.
He's aiding and abetting. And you know what? Okay, I'll start. Okay. Yesterday, my high-low, number one. Yesterday, okay. I suggested the number of total fans attending the split doubleheader yesterday at Wrigley Field would be 65,000. Okay?
Okay.
Split doubleheader, 65,000.
Mm-hmm.
Was that number high or low to the actual attendance count?
I want to say that number was low.
It was very low. 73,585 Tyler Aki idiots went out there. 73. I love Tyler. He knows that. 73,585.
We get the spirit of which you make that comment.
Yeah, no, I love Tyler. But now I know his season tickets because, I mean, the rogue jerseys are always Wrigley. And I had season tickets when I was his age, too. And they stunk then, too.
And I was 70s. Just going to say, and they really sucked back then as well.
I couldn't give the tickets away on a beautiful Saturday where it's like 78 degrees and sunny. And back then, they would, on a good day, on a holiday or something, or if they were in third place, would get like 24,000 people. I couldn't give those tickets away free. I mean, offering people like, no, I'm going to go play golf. I'm playing baseball. I'm cutting the lawn, whatever.
Going to the dentist.
Yeah. I'm trimming my toenails that day. I'm very busy. But yeah, God bless Tyler. He's sitting out there aiding and abetting the Ricketts family. All right. Number five. The number is five.
The number is five.
Did you know there's an MLB draft tonight? We just talked about the futures game. There's the actual first round of the draft, Major League Baseball, which, surprise, surprise, actually on MLB Network. So you don't have to go
looking for it. So they didn't sell that to anybody?
No. So
they didn't sell it to like Nickelodeon or anything?
Nope. It's not going to slime on this one. Yeah, no. So it's 6 p.m. tonight. You can go to MLB Network, and the Cubs are holding the seventh pick, and I believe the White Sox are 26th.
Yep.
But the number five, the MLB.com mock draft final version, number five, is that high or low for projected pitchers to go in the top 10?
Five, going in the top 10. I would say that's low, Brian.
How about this? Zero, which as a Cubs fan, stopped me cold because I do believe the Cubs need pitching. I get the best player available and all that stuff. But they do allow that the if there's a pitcher to be taken in the top 10, it would be the Chicago Cubs going for Alabama left-hander Connor Prelip. But they believe that there are position players they like before they would get to the lefty. So baseball, usually, you know, it's all about the pitching. Usually, you know, the top, you know, three of the top five for sure would be pitchers, not this year.
That's really unbelievable.
Isn't it?
Now, it's projected. We'll see what ends up happening. But the projection is zero.
Zero. Unless the Cubs, and it might just be one, if the Cubs actually decide, you know what, we don't have much pitching. We just learned that. All right, my final high-low, the number is six. The number is six. And as a stark reminder, I read this in Mark Potash's piece in the Sun-Times a couple days ago. Number of Bears victories in the last 31 seasons. Postseason victories, postseason playoff victories in the last 31 seasons, six. High or low? Is that number high or low?
That number's high, Brian.
It is high. Four. They have four playoff wins in 31 seasons.
It's been a tough. I've lived through all those seasons.
As have I. I covered a lot of them. Only three teams have fewer in that three-decade span.
And who are they?
I don't. That you can guess the awful ones.
It would be the Jets.
The Bears. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the Bears are in the subdivision of bad, so they right. They all have timeshare in there. But it's just think about that. Four in 31 seasons, four wins, playoff wins.
I know.
I mean, this is why you had 35 quarterbacks start for them. You know, since Brett Favre showed up in Green Bay,
and this is why people still celebrate the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. 85 Bears are still, you know, making money. I mean,
in 1995, that drove me nuts.
It's crazy. Four playoff wins in 31 seasons. Uh-huh. I mean, you and I could run a team and stumble into four playoff wins.
I would hope so.
I would think so, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And George McCaskey will tell you that his family is the absolute best family to run that Bears franchise into the ground. I mean, no, those were my words. Sorry.
Oh, he left those out?
Yeah, he said, remember, whenever's asked, you know, basically, are you ever going to sell? Oh, no, we're the best stalwarts of the great original franchise and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, then there's that. Well, obviously, there's been enough change with the Bears this year to give us a little hope for the time being in talking to Josh Rock. In case you missed it, by the way, you can catch that on the podcast that we'll get.
It's on
posted.
Peacock.
Yeah, right. Yeah, off hours. Good luck finding him. Okay, so we're up against break here. We come back, and we're getting out of here at 12:30. That will be the time for the pregame with Tyler Rocky. He's in for Connor McKnight. Connor's on the call today. First pitch against the Twins at 1:10, as Tyler will handle the pregame, and Dylan Cease will handle the pitching duties for the White Sox on the hill against Chris Archer. He's got a losing record. Dylan's been dominant. We need to take this game from the Twins. We do that. We're two games out, and we've got an all-star break to contend with. So we hope for the best, and you can hear all the action here on ESPN 1000. We're back in 2 minutes here. Xander and Hanley.